continuing on in the book here, the time now is, a little further in the future and in advance from last week. Now we got him in the first year of Darius, who was, the Median or the Mede, the king of the Medes, who, remember when Daniel had the vision of the goat, that one horn was longer than the other, typifying the Median and the Persian Empire, and Darius and Cyrus, the Medes, and then taken over by the Persian, which were stronger. And but we find this morning that this is really interesting. And we're going to develop it because it's kind of like it goes along with next week. I mean, it's really interesting. Because Daniel is doing a Bible study. He's reading in the book of Jeremiah, and he stumbles across some prophecies, and all of a sudden, boom, the Lord opens his eyes. And in his, revelation, he attunes to the present. God's word, giving him perspective, God's plan over the present. And he tunes in with this prayer, this intercession. And we're just going to look at some of the things, regarding it. First of all, if you turn back to Jeremiah, he said he was reading in the books and in Jeremiah. And he understood by the books that the years of captivity in Babylon would be 70 years. Now, if you turn to Jeremiah 25, I'm sorry, 24, I think it is. 24. No, 25. 25, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. This was the first year of captivity. Now, if you go down to verse 12. It says, then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, that land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make a perpetual desolation. Now, he's reading Jeremiah, doing a Bible study, and in the prophecy of Jeremiah, he notices that God prophesied that there's going to be 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Well, at this time, it was like the 67th or 68th year that Daniel's in Babylon. He's getting excited. Whoa! The fulfillment of this prophecy is soon to be accomplished. So he's getting excited as he's reading Jeremiah because it pertained to this soon future of his life, present. We understood by the books, it says in verse 2, chapter 9. By the books, we read the Bible and it brings understanding, as it did Daniel. It brings understanding of our present in a line with God's plan. It's only through the Scripture that we can get perspective, that we can get understanding by the book, understanding God's plan according to the Bible. In verse 13, notice chapter 9, a note here that's absolutely necessary. In verse 13, it says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. We have to turn from our sin. We can read the Bible, but Daniel is reading the Bible, and he's gaining understanding. Daniel's not living in sin. Daniel's noted for being so faithful. And here, in his intercessory prayer, he notes that, hey, we've turned from your law. We've turned into sin. We don't turn from our sin that we might see your truth, that we might know your truth. But he gained understanding by the books. In Bible study, it brings understanding, a biblical worldview, as it were. We understand through Bible and Bible study, pure Bible, that we've been created, that there's a creator. We understand through the Bible, granting us understanding, perspective, vision, we can see that there's one God. The Bible tells us of the one God, we don't quite understand, but there's three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We understand of Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son. We understand that his deity. Our biblical understanding by the book gives us understanding of who our God is. The truth that we have a God that created us and he sent his Son to the earth, granting us understanding. We understand as the mainline Christian essentials of the faith, understand, you know, the virgin birth, biblical perspective by the books, granting us understanding. We understand, you know, the inerrancy of the Bible. We understand of the atoning blood, that our forgiveness and our salvation that God's provided for us comes from Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And only via that avenue, medium, can salvation be brought to us. We understand that. But it's by the book. It's through the scripture. It's a biblical perspective. It grants us a worldview. We can see. And Daniel, by the books, gaining understanding, it says in verse 2. And on the verge of the fulfillment of this prophecy, we know historically that in 605 B.C. Jerusalem fell. And it was sometime now near 538 B.C. I mean, it was close, fast approaching. This fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy was at hand, a couple of years down the road. The captivity of Israel and Babylon soon approaching fulfillment of the prophecy. And the Bible tells us, as Daniel seeks, look at verse 2, chapter 9. First year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish. God will bring it to pass. And God will fulfill his word. God does fulfill his prophecy. And Daniel knew that. He's excited. He's reading this prophecy given by Jeremiah, and he knows he's on the verge of his accomplishment. So he breaks into an intercession prayer. Jason, in the book of Exodus, was talking about how God prompted Moses into an intercessory prayer for his people. But we see in Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and here in Daniel 9, much of the same intercessory prayer, the nines. And there's no back masking here. It's the number 9, the intercessory prayer given. And Daniel breaks out into it because of the soon approaching fulfillment of this prophecy. And he does it by tuning in and connecting with God. Look in verse 3, chapter 9. Because of the soon fulfillment of this prophecy, he says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome, God who keeps his covenant and mercy and with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. He turns and tunes in. He desires to connect with God. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible and gain understanding. And, you know, the necessity, the turning from our sin in order that we might see the truth, repentance. But then he connects with God, to connect with God, the God of our life for his plan for the present. We see things in the scripture, but Daniel takes it to the next level, seeking to connect. And he connects. The Bible tells us he really desires to tune in. With prayer and fasting, with sackcloth and ashes, taking the extent, the measures to tune in with God, connect with God. Prayer, you know, with the word, connects with God. Or in Hebrews, the Bible says, faith mixed with truth, you know, is the formula. I like to give the picture of a, you know, when your rear view mirror breaks off your windshield and you buy the little glue fix-it thing from the auto parts store. Well, in order for that glue thing to be effective, you have to break it. And there's like a, it's an old epoxy, you know, a resin and a hardener, and you break it and it mixes, and then you open it up and put it on the wind, and then it'll grab. Now, if you open it up and try to stick the mirror on the windshield without breaking it and mixing them together, it won't work. It takes faith and truth. It takes the word and prayer to bring the connection with God. And this is what Daniel's doing. He sees the truth. Oh, this is cool. And then he breaks into intercession. But he gets serious with the Lord. He's fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He's tuning in to pray, to get with the program, because it's going to be soon fulfilled as he sees it, connects with God. Turn to Acts chapter 6. There's something about, you know, the correlation of the word and prayer. In chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible tells the early church and the leaders in the church, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The word and prayer, connecting with God. How necessary it is for us to not just, you know, seek Bible study and see the truth and gain perspective in our worldview, but to connect with Him, to talk to Him, to pray. And Daniel does. And he's connecting because this prophecy is going to come. You know, truth of God mixed with faith, the connection. In his intercession, in this prayer in chapter 9, it's really interesting. When you take it apart, you know, and you you really take, you know, put it under the microscope, it's interesting because he, in his intercessory prayer, intercession means that you pray on someone else's behalf. And Daniel connects as a representative of the people of Israel. And he's, it's interesting because he says, we have sinned. We have fallen short. And that connection and identification wasn't on his part. We look at Daniel, and nothing's recorded of his failure or his faltering. The opposite's recorded about Daniel. He prayed three times a day. From his early life, he prayed. And turned towards Israel. And they tried to Babylonianize him. Remember, the world tried to conform him into his image. And he stood fast, stood strong, with the fear of throwing him in the lion's den. The sentence of death, held fast, didn't compromise. So, and yet, he, as in his intercessory prayer, he's representing the people, connecting with his people, Israel. We've sinned. In what intercession is. In this intercessory prayer, 12 times the pronoun we is used, 14 times our, 9 times us. It's filled with this identification with his people. And it's he's connecting with God, but he's connecting with his people. As he comes before God as a representative, as he prays, he does through identifying with his people. It's interesting, you know, in the light of Daniel's faithfulness, how he, you know, we have sinned. And that's a point. It brings up a point. You know, we, the Bible tells us, come ye apart and be separate. We're to separate ourselves from the world. You know, sanctification means to be separated. Holy means to be separated. And, you know, we're to come apart from sin, from the worldly system. And yet, here's Daniel connecting and identifying with sinners. It's what Jesus did. You know, Jesus, the sin bearer, he never sinned. And yet was baptized in a sinner's repentance, identifying with us. And so are we to identify. When we pray, you know, it's a healthy thing to put on somebody else's shoes and to slip in their shoes and, Lord, help them. You know, feel their struggle. We don't want to get involved. I don't want to deal with everybody's problems. You know? And yet Daniel, in his heart, our that we can model after connects. Lord, help us. We've fallen as a country. You know, we've fallen so short. Help us in our community, connecting with the city councilmen and how far they are from you. And the dictates of our area, our family, our church, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our wife, the connection, and entering into their shoes. You know, you don't have to be a part of that. And yet, when he prays and intercedes, he takes it on. He's going to get an answer. He's praying like Jesus prayed. Connecting with the people. He seeks to connect with God. And he connects with the people by embracing the responsibility. You know, in a day today, when everybody's shirking responsibility, I didn't do it, it's my family's. I'm going to sue McDonald's because I'm fat. The ridiculous, you know, degree that we've fallen as a, you know, culture. And yet, here's Daniel. Oh, forgive us, man. And him being spotless. I mean, he had sin. He confessed his sin. He knew the Lord. He was on speaking terms with the Lord. He continued to pray. But how he slipped on their shoes. And he owns their fault. And he confesses their sin. Connecting with God. Now, in this intercessory prayer, again, you take it apart. Put it under a microscope. I did. 24 times, you know, not only was the personal pronouns about we and us and our, but your. 24 times he mentions your. Speaking to God, connecting with God on the basis of God's terms. He comes God's way. We so often don't come to God God's way when we pray. But here's Daniel. He gives us a real model of prayer. He mentions, you know, we've fallen short of your justice, your law, your precepts. He's saying, you know, you set the rules. He sets the rules. And when Daniel comes before him, as we should, the recognition, he sets the rules. He sets the terms. We're not there because the way I feel, you know, if I think about it, God, I wouldn't do it the way you're doing it. And, you know, kind of give him, try to lead him and coax him in our prayer. Lord, I think if you, you know, maybe turn around, send him a couple of people, you know, maybe send him to rehab. And we're going to direct God's dealings and issues. Whereas Daniel says, man, it's your law. We fall so short. You set the terms. It's your justice system. Not only is it his justice system, in the intercessory prayer, he talks about your righteousness. You know, and it's so cool how Daniel takes on, you know, the sin of the people. We deserve your punishment. When's the last time you heard somebody pray that? You know, when God's pouring out his wrath in the book of Revelation, the angels, the elders in the background saying, righteous are your precepts, because he's righteous. And when we come before him, it's not only on his terms, he sets the rules, it's his law, it's his way. You know, he's the enforcer of the law. It's up to him the way he wants to deal with us in his dealings. He's righteous. In the way he treats us. And I don't like the way, you know, it's just not fair. You know, like if I had a different dad. Whatever. You know, we got these things. We construe. God's in control. His treatment of us is fair. He's just. He's righteous. He's holy. Daniel comes and he's bowing his knee. He's not coming on his own terms. Hey, you know, he doesn't, you know, come saying, I didn't sin against you, Lord. He's not saying, you know, I've been faithful for you. They say he was in his 80s at this time, maybe even 90s. You know, I've lived my life for you. He's not coming on that kind of, you know, basis. He's bowing to God's treatment. And he's understanding, according to the prophecies in Jeremiah, that the reason you know, God is judging Israel, the Bible tells us and explains it. 490 years you didn't keep the land Sabbath in the nation. I'll exact the land Sabbath. I'll take you away and bring you into captivity for 70 years in Babylon. And God explaining why he brought them into captivity. But Daniel, you know, notating in this intercession prayer his faithfulness, his righteousness, his justice. And then he, you know, states or exemplifies his ownership. There's a creator-creature clause. He owns us. We're accountable to him when we come to him. He not only sets the rules and enforces it his way, but Daniel points out, you know, he says it's your people, your sanctuary, your holy mountain, your, you know, notating ownership. And then, you know, for Daniel in the Old Testament and his relationship with God and understanding, God's in control and owns mankind, humankind, by virtue of creation. Creator, my creatures. And yet, how much more for us? The Bible tells us Jesus bought us with his blood. How much more does he, you know, have the right of an ownership claim upon us? But in his intercessory prayer, he has such a healthy biblical perspective. He comes to God, Bible, with true concepts of God, who he is. Oh, you're just, you're holy. It's your law we've broken. He never once tries to put the blame on God. How much different are we? We go to God and we walk around with our attitudes. It's not fair. Yeah. And yet Daniel, in this model prayer, you're so good. We are the problem. Me and my sin is the problem. Bringing this biblical, healthy biblical perspective. And then I love how he really makes his appeal. You think of so many people, you know, contesting their situation or bringing a legal court case before, you know, to the appellate court. I've got these petitions, you know, all these 10,000 signatures. Yeah, but the bold, the font is not bold enough. And yet he doesn't bring his own rights, never pushing his own rights. He says, because of your great mercy, have mercy on us. I love this because it brings such a healthy perspective before God. Not only in the realization that he's just, it's his law, he sets the rules. He enforces, he has the right to deal with us in any way he desires. You know, he has the right claim. He's got the deed claim over our life. But the basis of his appeal, in verse 18, look at the end of verse 18, he states, we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. I cast myself upon the mercy of my God. That's a healthy perspective. An ongoing relationship with a healthy perspective. Not because of me, not because of what I've done, but because of your great mercies, who you are. James in the New Testament, you know, you write about James as Jesus' brother. And he's a hardliner. I mean, he comes and tells you like it is. And yet, he makes the point that it's the mercy of God that triumphs over justice. To cast ourselves upon God's mercy. How Daniel, a faithful man, prays to, you know, for God to move, for God to answer. Because of your great mercy. Look in verse 19. He says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city, for your people are called by your name. Again, desire. Why do we pray? You know, in his intercession, he's desiring a response from God. Forgiveness. that he would overturn earlier in the intercessory prayer. Oh, turn your fury and your anger from us. Oh, that your countenance would shine upon your sanctuary. Seeking God's favor again by turning from sin and casting yourself upon the mercy of God. Healthy Bible perspective. Then, really, you should finish the chapter, but we're going to look at that next week because it's really interesting about future. And it's a key to prophetic understanding. But if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 29, it's another place where Jeremiah, maybe this is where Daniel was reading, or maybe he read them both as right before he broke out into intercessory prayer. But in chapter 29, look in verse 10, chapter 29. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Jeremiah was a negative, doomsdayer. Hey, no matter what, judgment's coming, was his message pretty much day in, day out. But through Jeremiah, God told him in 70 years, it's going to turn around. His favor will be shining on his people again. For verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's a familiar verse, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captives. Another prophecy regarding the fulfillment that, it's going to end. And when it ends, it's going to turn around. So there's this positive. He's pointing to the it's really God's perspective. It's, not positive confession, it's positive proclamation. It's the promise of God that we can look at. Our future holds. But casting yourself upon the mercy of God, pointing to the positive, the peace, my plans for you, my future for you is of peace and not of evil. It's a future and a hope. Really, you see Daniel, and I gained understanding through the books, seeing. And then he prays. He brings it to the Lord. He prays, and now he's just positively pointing to the future. Because who we serve and his plan. Let's stand. Understanding the Bible through truth and faith, connecting with God the right way. Mercy and grace. Turning from our sin, seeking his favor. It's the same elementary truth, Watson. And yet, it's good. It's healthy perspective. We leave that perspective so often. We think we got it going on, Now I can tell God what to do. Lord, help us. Grant us understanding. Yeah, there's he sees, he prays, and he trusts. He's trusting God with his life, with God's future plans for his life, for us, and really giving us a model to focus on, live. Let's pray. Father, we do. We thank you for your word, Lord, and the prophecies and the truth, veracity of your word. We do ask, Lord, that through the book we gain understanding, proper perspective, worldview, that we see clearly, Lord, and we seek to connect with you on your terms, on your basis, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. casting ourselves on the mercy of our God. We turn to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would tune in our perspective and the hope and the future plan that you have for us, Lord. We seek, Lord, to trust you, to turn to you for your name's sake, for we're your people, that you would shine on your sanctuary, Lord, your temple where you dwell, for your purpose, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.